It's the 8 for 52 podcast. Here's Bushy.
We're back after resting up from the Hong Kong Sixers, and episode 10 is a go of season 2 of the 8 for 52 podcast. Bushy with you as always. Another huge show, so we'll get on with it. Welcome to co-hosting duties this week. Saturday Div 2 player with HKU, Morning League and Friday Masters League ring in, and Challenge League guru, it's Nitesh Hemlani. I've got to find my claps. There we go. Yay!
Thank you, Bushy.
Now, you're no stranger to the 8 for 52 podcast, so you know what you have to do as we lower down the... Who is your story guest this week?
So... My story guest this week is someone who has a resume like no one else in Hong Kong. Not only has he played for Hong Kong, not only has he captained Hong Kong, not only did he play ODIs in the Asia Cup against India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, he has also then gone on to work in the Cricket Association, has coached a number of young cricketers, a generation of young cricketers.
You know, this isn't the My Story section. This is just the who is it?
He's gone on to umpire. He runs a Premier Club in Hong Kong. He runs a shop. He's done literally everything you can do in cricket and more. It's legendary Tabarak Dar.
Yay, that's going to be awesome. That'll be coming up in My Story. Now, quick question. One question for you, Nitesh.
Yes.
Many players in Hong Kong use three names.
Yep.
But you're one of the few that just has a middle initial in the system. What does the C stand for? Are you going to tell me? Or is it a secret?
It's my middle name, my father's name, Chandiram.
Okay.
Growing up, you read scorecards everywhere and everyone's got their initials before the last name. So I made sure my profile looks the same way. That's the closest I'll get to looking professional in cricket. So,
well, Nitesh C. Hemlani, welcome to the podcast. Now, in the intro, this is not in your script because this was breaking news, literally sent to me about 20 minutes ago. Ooh. Huge, huge news. An insider has sent me all this. I've got to pull it up to read it to you. So we just had the Hong Kong Sixers, right?
Yep.
So we think, okay, that's the end. We've had our international thing for the year. But have a listen to this. This is what's been sent to me. Starting November 29 to the 1st of December, we're going to do the DLA Piper All-Stars Series with the women's, Jay Jets, Balhinia Stars. That's pretty cool. So we still got some big cricket going on. But then, starting the 4th of December, we have the Hong Kong Women's T20I Series. We're going international again. Namibia, Thailand, China and Hong Kong are all coming to play over 4 days from the 4th of December to the 8th. So... the 6th is off, so they'd play 4, 5, 7, 8, all at Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground. So that's cool.
That's cool indeed.
Then other series I've got listed here. 15th to the 19th of January 2025, Sky Warriors All-Star Series 50 overs. 22nd to the 26th of January, there's a men's one-day tri-series in Hong Kong.
Very nice.
Do you know anything about that?
Nope.
My secret source couldn't give me any more information about that, except for... the two other teams might be linked into what's coming up after that, which is from the 6th of February to the 16th of February, the ICC World Cup Challenge League Group B, round two, is coming to Hong Kong.
I did hear about that.
Round one's on now. We're going to talk about it at Sky Plaza Road, but I've got some details about that one. You know the teams already, Hong Kong, China, Singapore, Bahrain, Uganda, Tanzania and Italy. The games are going to be played at Mission Road. Yep. And Kowloon Cricket Club, right here where we're recording from tonight. How cool is that?
Very exciting.
And the event is now designated as a major local international event by CTSB and LCSD. So that's a massive tournament. And then there's still two more to go. 6th to the 9th of March, Sky Warriors do their T20 series, All-Star Series. Mm-hmm. Love the All-Star Series. And then the 11th to the 16th of March, Men's T20I Series in Hong Kong, 4 teams. I don't know anything about that. You?
No idea.
Yep. So that's cool. So from the end of November all the way through to March, we've still got top level and international cricket going on in Hong Kong. Indeed. Plus everything else, of course.
Indeed. It doesn't stop. It never stops in Hong Kong.
Yeah. I read that with excitement and then realised I'm going to have to work all of those.
Yes.
So I'll need to find somewhere to sleep over Christmas, maybe. So that's what's going on. It's huge. I'm so glad that Cricket Hong Kong China have managed to put together all these international tours. It's fantastic. We'll talk about them in detail as we get to them throughout the year. But right now, should we get on with the show?
Let's do it.
Giddy up.
And now it's time for outs and ins with all last week's action in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Alrighty, Natasha, outs and ins time. We're going to check all of last week's games. We missed a few over the HK Sixers weekend, but we're just skipping them. We're going to move on. There's just too many games. So last weekend, we're going to start with Saturday Championship Div 1. Up at the HKCC, the India Club Yachters versus the Gap Ramblers. Now, the Gap Ramblers won the toss, elected to field.
Yep.
How'd the Yachters do with the bat?
Pretty good, 186 for 7. No real outstanding performances except for Akash Yadav, runner ball 66.
He's in some form this season.
He's been batting well. Prashant Chivappa also contributed with 35. But
In reply,
the Gap Ramblers scored less runs, but ahead on DLS. It got dark, and on the 31st over, play could not continue, and Gap Ramblers well ahead of DLS by 9 runs. Jack Medders hammering 66 of 60 balls. Shout out to the bowling of Tom Hicks and Veer Mathur for the Gap Ramblers. 4 for the young seamer, and 1 for 11 in the 7 overs. Tom Hicks.
Author Tom Hicks.
Author Tom Hicks.
Has a book. I have it. Veer Mathur, I've been calling his name all year. He's in some exceptional form. He was the one that got Jamie Atkinson out when he came over here. Well done to the Gap Ramblers. Now, also in Div 1, the USRC Tigers taking on the IRC Charlie Bears out at Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground last Saturday. USRC won the toss, elected to bat. They did not.
The Never Evers bowled out the USRC Tigers for 62.
Oh, Charlie Bears are out of the bin after this game. USRC Tigers, what happened there? 16.2 overs, 62 for 10.
Yeah, and only Zakir Hayat in the 20s for the USRC Tigers.
I know, right? So 23 of the runs came from Zakir. And
basically nothing
The other 10 did nothing. Well, they actually, he's on there. Khan Umar also got 10. So
well
the
done.
Two of them got half of the score. In reply, Charlie Bears did it in a canter. 65 for 3 in 9.5. I just wanted to point something out here. Some notes, Natasha. The match started at 12:42 p.m. They were on the beers by 3:06 p.m.
Perfect. Lovely layout.
It was not even, what was that, 2 hours 20?
2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very short Saturday Championship game. Moving on to Div 2.
Shout out firstly to Abdul Arslan Ahmad Yasin.
Who was the...
The two bowlers, Arslan and Yasin. Yasin left arm fast, if I believe. Arslan right arm fast. I think so, from what I remember of them. 9 wickets between them for 46 runs. 5 for Abdul Arslan.
Yeah, well done. He was player of the match, and Charlie Brears dragged themselves out of the never ever bin.
Wow.
Saturday Div 2, DLSW Thunder up against PAC Championship, the former PAC Rising Stars, the Fallen Stars. They're back in my good books after a number of games, but including this one. Tell us how it all went.
It's the Hafiz Khan show. Took 5 for 17 and 7 overs as the Thunder rolled out to 105 at GDB, a below par score even with the bigger boundaries. And so he proved it as he came out to open the batting and smacked 50 of 40 not out. One man star there, Arslan Khan, 3 wickets and a few runs from other players, but really all Hafiz.
I love the PAC Championship and Pakistan Association Cricket Club itself at trying to drag Championship back up to Div 1. But, I mean, that's just bullying some of that team. Like Hafiz Khan, Tariq Nawaz in there. I don't know. I haven't checked the scorecard, but I assume Haseeb was playing as well. Just a ridiculous team and won by 9 wickets. Also in Div 2, Laguna Gully. Oh, you might have featured in this game, did you? Did you play this one? Laguna Gully versus HKU.
I don't think we played a game this weekend.
HKU winning the toss out of Campton, electing to bowl. And Laguna Gully didn't last their 35 overs. Bowled out for 219.
Yeah. Again, Giri batted really well. I thought we bowled well, but he withstood the storm and hammered us at the end. 73 of 52. 7 sixes, most of them not off the middle of the bat. Small ground to come then, but 220 should have been chaseable. Unfortunately, we didn't chase it. Some dodgy LBWs, but they did drop catches. So can't blame luck.
Blame the umpires. Blame the ground. Blame the weather.
Blame our poor batting. Only Rishi managed to score 33 for us. We were rolled for 178.
There we go. And Giri was the player of the match. And a handful of players got 3 for. Nafa Abdul for Laguna Gully and 2 HKU bowlers. Tiran Ranasinghe, who was playing here this morning. Jaya.
Broadcast team Jaya.
Left armour, right? No, left armour correct, not right. He's left. Okay, moving on. Still, now we're into Sunday Elite Division 2.
Yeah.
The India Club Brahmas up against the CHK Dragons. And talking about the PAC Championship team in Saturday Div 2 being a bully, the Brahmas
are bullies.
They're bullies about GDB. This is the second time they're about GDB. And this time they got to bat first, or they chose to bat first, I should say. 367. They were bowled out.
Bowled out on the last ball.
Yeah, on the last ball, but 367.
Outrageous.
Arguably a below par score GDB for Sunday League, if I'm being honest.
Oh, that's a big call. especially when you've got the likes of Niaz bowling later on.
Yeah.
There was a century, though.
Yeah, Rajiv Kumar Divakaran. He plays, I think, for the Lancers as well. So he plays Sat Div 1, Sunday Div 2. Wonderful innings. He's a good batter, Rajiv. I've seen him play 50s for Viraj Rao, Ankur, and I'm sure contributions everywhere else in that lineup. Ming Lee bowled really well, the leg spinner for Dragons, 4 for 51 in his 10 overs. But
That's about it, because the rest of them must have got carted. In reply, the Dragons fell apart. Yeah. 89 all out after 21 overs. They got Niazed.
Yeah, a lot of LBWs in that game. Niaz Ali, 5 for 22. Abhimanyu Ganesan, 3 for 24.
How many LBWs did Niaz get?
I think he got like 3.
Oh, well, that's...
And the other bowlers got LBWs,
you know,
as well.
He never gives an LBW as an umpire, but he loves to appeal for one and beg for one. So, well done, Niaz, yet again, watching his Instagram, getting a Michelle Pfeiffer. We'll move along to Premier League. The pod has started. Premier League one day, 2024-25. First game is PAC Premier up against HKCC Premier. And what did we do? This is a tight game.
This is a tight game. HKCC missing 6 players to the national team tour, and PACC missing 3. So both teams dipping into their reserves a little bit there. And HKCC on a cloudy day, green wicket, opted to bowl first. Smart move. The young seam attack bowled really well. Sahal taking the new ball, got an early wicket. Veer Martha got a couple. Danny Mapp got one.
Must have shared it around, because Sahal and Veer getting 2 each were the only 2 to get on the list.
Wickets were shared, and Haroon Irshad dug in deep, batted really well for 68, but Park Association could not bat out their 50 overs, all off for 216.
Yeah, Haroon, obviously formerly of HKCC, now over at PAC, and in reply, did it with a couple of overs to spare, 2.5 overs, the HKCC Premier getting the 219. 5 down again. The Sahal show, Sahal Malvankar not out, 72 off 95. He took a specky as well, didn't he?
The catch at the boundary was outstanding. It's gone on the HKCC Instagram. It's on the CHK Instagram. It's gone viral.
It has. It's the old take the catch, toss it back into yourself, run back over the boundary kind of work. And a shout out for a half century to one of HKCC's new opponent.
Shihan Vijaytunge moving across from Little Saiwan in the off-season. Marked his HKCC debut with a wonderful 50, batted really well.
That wouldn't make our My Story guest happy about it. And we'll talk to him about it later on, that Sheehan's moved across. But he's playing lots of cricket at the moment. He's making a lot of runs. Mm-hmm. I've caught a lot of morning league with Sheehan making stupid amount of runs.
It's almost unfair he gets to play morning league, I say.
Unfair bullying.
I've been on the receiving end of 100 of his last season in the morning league. He should not be playing that league.
He loves it. And he loves it now that I'm commentating it and I'm getting his name right. The other plod game last weekend was Little Saiwan against USRC Premier. And this was also a bullying. Askwa Little Saiwan, D-Lit, getting bowled out for 153 in 42.3. So they stuck around for a while. But crazy low score.
Yeah, I think it's USRC's bowling attack has come in together well for the Premier League. After I was saying, Akasha, Umarzai, and Para Singh Benny all making on the list, taking 8 wickets between them for not many runs. And SNIR's resistance was 44, but in reply, the Saiwan's bowling just couldn't make a breakthrough.
Well, they're not on the bowling list because they didn't take a wicket. Shahid Wasif and Muhammad Umar getting their job done in 23.2, 157 for the win. They win by 10 wickets. Player of the match is Muhammad Umar with his 95 off 73, not out.
100 avoidance there.
Well, that's it for outs and ins this week. It's been a big one. We've got ins and outs coming up with plenty to talk about in this week's coming up cricket games. Stick around. That's coming up next.
Ins and outs next. All the upcoming action in cricket in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Ins and outs time. We're going to run through this week's games. We skipped a few, as we said, because of the Hong Kong Sixers. But the tipping tally at the moment, Nitesh, guests are on 23. Aaron on 26.
Shocking. It's been poor by the guests.
It has been poor by the guests. And you're pipping me at the moment in the Challenge League tipping. So maybe you can get one back this week. All right, we're going to start with Plod. Premier League one day, here at Kowloon Cricket Club. I will be calling this game. It will be live on Cricket Hong Kong China YouTube. Now...
KCC Premier versus Diascal Little Saiwan Dilip, who lost by 10 wickets.
Yeah, I think this is a fairly straightforward one. KCC are missing their national team players, though, and their Templars did lose to the Tony Toners without the national team players.
Oh, no, they lost without seven players.
Without several of them, yeah.
Not several, seven players. The top seven batters were not playing in that game in the one day in the Sunday league. Okay, that's a different team.
Yeah,
that team is not turning up on Sunday, I assure you.
I'm still picking KCC.
Okay, obviously I am picking them as well. The other game, two plod games this weekend. Ting Kwong Road Recreation Ground, Pac Premier going down to HKCC up against USRC Premier, who were victors at that same ground last week.
It's going to be Pac Association. They played really well against HKCC. They bowled really well. I think they just didn't get enough runs on the board. And though USRC have a good bowling attack, I think PACC have enough quality in that team to pull it off.
I reckon they'll get at least one wicket.
Yeah.
Unlike Little Saiwan. Yes, I'm also going for Pac. Right, let's go to Sunday Elite Division 2. And this is up the hill at your place. HKCC Optimus taking on the Infidels. Infidels home game.
Infidels home
game. But, of course, because...
No, Opti's home game.
No, I've got it listed.
Well, the house okay, is on Opti's. They have it backwards on Crick Heroes. Yeah, the home team is on the right.
That does not help me at all.
That isn't. I know, it's very annoying.
Right. Anyway, even if it was KCC Infidels, they couldn't play here because we've got Premier League on. So Infidels versus Optimists. Optimus home game doesn't really matter. What's your pick? This is going to be a good game.
Opties have the cheat code, Sahal Malvankar, as he's now been nicknamed. So.
Well, but the cheat code where you can just play in every single game.
Well, and he takes wickets, takes catches, scores runs.
Yeah, and plays in seemingly every single Hong Kong cricket club team.
Cheat code. Optimus, I think they're going to win.
I'm going to this is the one we're going to go different on. I reckon the Infidels have got enough in the bag, even without Atiq Iqbal. Saturday Championship Division 1. Over at Ting Kwong Road Recreation Ground, USRC Tigers, who were just terrible, weren't they?
Well, they got rolled and Lancers got rolled. Both of them scored below 17 in the last innings.
I'm telling you right now, even though I am ragging on USRC Tigers, I have picked them to win.
I have picked them as well.
Really?
Yeah, I like the Lancers, even though they've got a batsman who's just scored 100 for the India Club Brahmas, but I think Tigers are a better all-round team. So they should get the job done.
Now, this one's going to be interesting. Saturday Championship Div 1 up the hill. Crusaders from KCC against the Nomads of Hong Kong Cricket Club.
Yeah, again, the cheat code's playing for Nomads. I'm going to go for the Nomads.
No, mate. he's going to turn up in a Friday Masters League game at
this
rate.
He's
going
to play Morning League at this rate as well.
Well, this is ridiculous. He'll end up playing for the Willow Wilders because he's the coach. We'll put on a skirt. Off you go. Cheat code.
Cheat code.
Anyway, there's a bit of a cheat code. You're going for the Nomads before I tell you this, right?
Tell me who's your cheat code in the Crusaders.
Well, I've heard... firsthand, that there is a player coming back to the Crusaders who used to play 3 years ago and has recently moved back to town.
Oh, interesting.
He was also the leading run scorer in the KCC Corporate Sixes on the weekend.
Oh.
So one Tom Heisinger back in the Crusaders. I don't know if he's playing this weekend. I haven't seen the team picks, but I do believe he's back in. So that's a bolster to a team that hasn't won a game yet. But I'm going with the Crusaders. I trust in the Crusaders because I can't trust in the Saracens. Saturday Championship Div 2 out of GDB. Centaurs versus the Diascwa Little Saiwan Strikers. I've done some research on this one. So I've got my tip in.
Tell me who your tip is.
I'm going with the Centaurs. So these two teams are both quite low on the table, struggling. But the Centaurs always come good. So I've gone, and also that's Jamie Atkinson's old team, so I've gone with the Centaurs.
So I've gone with Centaurs because I know the players and I do nets with a few of them, and they're a good team.
Well, that's a whole lot more than I've done. I've just done a little bit of research and looked at the table.
They're a good team. I'm going to back the Centaurs.
Yeah, I think they're better than, much like the Crusaders earlier, they're better than what the table suggests. I was just ragging on the KCC Saracens, and... it's time for them to play. They're playing here on Saturday, Championship Div 2 against Kai Tak.
Yeah. I think Cyrus is better. Pray for rain. It's going to be Kai Tak.
Wow. That's even harsher than I normally am with them. But yes, of course, I've gone for Kai Tak.
Sorry, Malhar.
Please prove me wrong, Saracens. Win a game and I can put you like in the maybe never ever been. You just have to win one. Do it against Kai Tak. I'll be happy to lose this tip. Right, that's it for Ins and Outs. Always denied entry by the English gentry. Now we're driving Bentley.
Women's Cricket Wrap returns to the 8 for 52 podcast. Tammy Chu with us as always. G'day, Tammy.
Hi, you're back.
You're back! Yeah, I never know where you are, but you are back in Hong Kong. You're down here at KCC. We've missed a few games. We've missed the game over the Hong Kong Sixers and last week's. We're going to skip them. Apart from, I've just heard on about the India Club team, who somebody scored a century. Someone scored what?
Yeah, because I think India Club got two players who's from India, just coming to Hong Kong for vacation and then just turn up and play and hit hundreds.
That's fantastic. I mean, I don't know the legalities of it all, but they scored half. That was like the team scored over 200, right?
Yeah, 293. So almost
293 in a T20. I mean, that's outrageous. India Club, once again, I beg you, please, if you've got that checkbook open, you're welcome to call it the India Club 8 for 52 podcast. Send out there, and I'm just begging again to get a sponsor. Right, but the tipping tally at the moment between you and I, Tammy's on 9, Aaron's on 10. We've got 3 games this weekend, and they're all Div 1.
Yes, they're all Div 1.
So is the top level, if you want to get out to PKVR Reservoir, all Grade 1, Division 1 games. Let's begin. KCC Maidens versus CCC Sunrisers. This is the one that's going to tear my heart. Because you know how much I love the Sunrisers, but I also love the Maidens.
Yeah.
Now, before I do my tipping, can you tell me anything about the team makeups? Is everyone back in town?
I think everyone is back in town.
Okay, so you can expect Yaz Daz to play for the Maidens, and you can expect about 40% of the Hong Kong China women's team to be playing for the Sunrisers.
Yes.
What do you got? Who do you think?
Sunrisers.
Yeah, no, I hate to do it to the Maidens. They're a stronger side with Yaz in it, but they're not Sunrisers level. So I will also go with the CCC. Game number 2 is the SCC Divas versus the Diaspora Little Saiwan Wasps. That's at 11:30 a.m. I don't know much about these teams, to be honest.
Ooh, I would say from the tour just now, if you notice, one player is not playing except the first two games. So I think she might be injured and not being to aid. Not sure whether she's being.
Is this a wasp we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Only because I'm a little scared of Tabarak Dar sitting next to me, I will go with the Wasps. Are you going to go with the Divas?
Oh, but I think I would try to go for the Divas.
Okay, you go for the Divas.
Yeah.
At least we got one different. Well, we might have two different. No, we're not. Of course we're not. Final game at 2:30 p.m. You'll be playing the Hong Kong Cricket Club Willow Wielders against the Lantau Ladies. How have the Lantau Ladies been going? They've been up there,
good,
right?
Yeah. Even if they miss one, well, I would say they're a more balanced team. So even if they're missing one or two players, they still perform well. They win the game last week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know why we're umming and ahhing. Obviously, you're going to pick yourself because you'll be playing. Yes. And what was the rule we made, Tammy? Can you remember the rule that I made after I made a horrible decision a few podcasts ago? Never tip against Tammy. So I will also go with the Willow Wielders. There we have it. 3 great games out at PKVR Reservoir this Sunday, starting at 8:30 a.m. Want to watch some great T20 women's cricket? Head out there up near Diamond Hill. It's fantastic. That's it for the Women's Cricket Wrap.
And now it's time for my story, where the superstars of cricket come in and tell us their story.
My story time. And as you heard in the intro, we've got somebody who's got a very long storied career here in Hong Kong. My story, Nitesh, who have we got?
We've got the legendary Tabarak Dar. Tabarak, thank you for coming on the show.
Most welcome. Hi, Nitesh. Hi, Bashir.
Thanks for coming on, Tabarak. It's so exciting. We're doing our research on this. And it's a 30-minute segment. And we're like, ooh, it's going to be tough. There's so much you've done in your career already. So we'll get cracking on it, Nitesh. Hit him with some questions, mate.
So I guess we just start right at the beginning. How did you first fall in love with cricket?
My home was next to my school, and this is where, been my playing ground. Mm-hmm. And just started there with my brothers. We are big family, 7 siblings. So we used to play at home. watching cricket, you know, when I was growing up, 7, 8 years old, it was Imran Khan, you know, era. So watching them on TV and then just pick up the game. The grounds was always available at my school, which we even finished school and then just go back to, you know, the grounds and, you know, keep playing there. And at home as well, you know. We have a big house, kind of a farmhouse. We use small mini cricket ground there. And among the brothers and some friends will come and we used to play. So
who first taught you how to play cricket? Was it your, like, older brothers or your father? Or
I have no coach. Oh. But this is how you grow up in Pakistan, actually. You know, you pick up probably from school and friends, you know, used to play around, you know, in the school. So I think it was school and home and probably watching, you know, some cricket.
Did you want to be a batsman or were you more of a all-rounder, Imran Khan wannabe?
It was never, you know, in my mind that I should become batsman or bowler. I think it's just on the way how it become, you know. At the beginning, I used to bowl a lot, actually. And batting was like, you know, I used to do a little bit. But over the years, when I, you know, keep playing, keep growing my skills, then I become actually bowling all-rounder.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you played informally growing up. Did you actually play any competitive school or club cricket in Pakistan before coming to Hong Kong?
Yep. So, as I said, my school was Ajmal Bagh High School, where I actually, you know, did my primary and high school together at that school. And starting in high school, class 6, 7, I started playing for the school team. And we used to have, like, annual, you know, competition. It was not like, you know, what we have in Hong Kong, you know, regular cricket, like league cricket.
Okay.
But we used to have cricket team. School used to have a cricket team, and we have an annual competition where we have to, you know, play against other schools.
Okay.
That will last, like, you know, for a month, long tournament, and then if you, you know, qualify, then you can go to, you know, different divisions and, you know, compete with, you know, other schools, which will, you know, go through their competitions. It was quite competitive.
Yeah, were you like a star player in school as well, or was it like the standard was much higher there?
I was not really a star, but at beginning 6, 7 class, I was a regular member. But I remember when I finishing my high school in 10th class, then I actually captained the team, and we have some great memories, you know, winning the competition school.
Did you play with anyone who went on to play like first class cricket in Pakistan or high standard there?
There were a few players already in the school actually who went on to play first class cricket.
Okay.
And some of the players which I compete against, they actually have played first class cricket in Pakistan.
Very good.
But I was quite young actually when I moved out from Pakistan and came to Hong Kong.
Yeah, so that's where we move on to. You start off playing cricket in Pakistan. At what age did you move to Hong Kong?
So I was 18 years old.
18.
When I came here.
Okay.
And I just finished my college then in Pakistan. And I just followed my father because my father came here first. And I was the second one from my siblings to come in Hong Kong.
Did you come here to work or did you just follow along?
Actually, I just follow along with my father. And then I also started looking for work as well. Not really cricket, but, you know, generally work. But again, I was studying as well at the same time.
Okay.
I was not sure when I was coming to Hong Kong that I will find any cricket here because I got no news that cricket, you know, been played in Hong Kong and, you know, I can come and play in league cricket.
Okay.
So when I arrived here, some of my friends, you know, Pakistani friends told me that we can play table cricket.
I was going to ask. Yeah. Everybody seems to come from Pakistan and immediately find the table games.
So some of my friends like, you know, Azhar Hussain, you know, he came at the same time when I came to Hong Kong.
Okay.
And then a couple of other guys we met, Javed Iqbal was, you know, Javed Bhai was playing a lot of cricket for Hong Kong then.
Okay.
Probably he was the only one Pakistani used to play for Hong Kong. But we met and we used to go to Shekhup Mai. There is a baseball ground where, you know, teams will get together and play, you know, informal table cricket.
Oh, it's interesting.
So it started from there, and we form a table team there with friends, and we used to, you know, go and compete.
What is the name of the team?
If I recall it, it was Tufan Cricket Club or something like that.
That's brilliant. So at that age, you're 18, you've just moved to Hong Kong, you're finding table cricket. At any point, was it in sort of your plans or your vision that you wanted to be a cricketer, or had you already sort of moved past that, or did you never want to be a cricketer?
As I said, I was not really aware of league cricket here, and I was looking at, you know, if I can find any club here when I came. Tape ball was just a start, and then from there I came to know that, you know, there is actually, you know, organized cricket, you know, being played in Hong Kong, and there is a Pakistan Association where, you know, a lot of Pakistani go and play.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Pakistan Association used to have a training at HKCC then, actually.
Oh, really?
So, you know, the first training I had with the hardball with Pakistan Association at HKCC in Cricket Nets outside, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is the current ground, the outdoor net we have out there now, same net.
Yeah, same net.
Wow, brilliant.
And actually, you know, even Little Savan Cricket Club or some of the independent cricket club, because there was no other cricket nets available at Mission Road or even at PKVR. So all our training was at HKCC and KCC. Oh, wow. And these were the two only nets available, you know, in Hong Kong.
Right.
So although we play for independent clubs, but we used to train in HKCC and KCC.
That's very good. Yeah. So you started playing club cricket around 19, 20 regularly. And I believe you were 22 when you made your debut for Hong Kong?
I was 23.
So that's pretty quick rise. You've gone from tape ball, arriving not knowing there's any cricket, tape ball, training for PAC in the HKCC nets, and then 3 years later, representing Hong Kong.
So when I arrived, because my father was Hong Kong born, So when I arrived, actually, I straight away got Hong Kong permanent residency. So for qualifying for Hong Kong was easy for me. Other players, if they come to Hong Kong, they need to actually wait for 3 years.
Yeah.
Then during that period, it was 7 years.
Okay. Yeah,
so if you are not a permanent resident, you have to wait for 7 years to represent Hong Kong. Mm. But for me, it was quite quick because I had the permanent residency anyway. So when I arrived,
that's amazing little sort of chance. I mean, that I know your dad was here. He had that. Yeah. So you got that. So you had the ability where perhaps some of the people you were playing and training and playing against had to wait. So got in there nice and young at 23.
Yeah. And is it around that age that you realized that cricket could be a career path for you? Was it that age where you started realizing that this is maybe what you want to pursue? Or was it still a hobby, something fun?
I think it was always a hobby. Looking at during that period, you know, cricket was, you have to spend money rather than, you know, it was like something you will earn out of.
Welcome
it.
To the 8-52 podcast. Anyway.
So it was always, I have like, you know, love of the game, interest was there, you know, I was quite sporty, you know, because not only cricket, I used to play hockey in my school, football, if there is, you know,
that's
no cricket in the competition,
well,
we used to play any sport actually,
yeah.
You know, so I was sporty, I was always looking, you know, to be active, like on weekends here, what to do actually. So, yeah. Once I started playing for Pakistan Association, the interest was, you know, growing.
Okay.
You know, and then there was, first I played for Hong Kong in under 23 team.
Okay.
So that was my first tour for Hong Kong. So
that doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No.
23 team?
No.
There we go.
I think the junior cricket then, the pathway cricket was actually quite strong. You know, we used to have under 19, under 16, under 19 teams, and then we have a strong under 19 during that period, and some of the boys was getting like, you know, 18, 19, 20. So we used to have Tengku Jaffer then,
yeah.
You know, where Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand used to, you know, yeah, play four nation tournament.
Yeah.
So alongside the adults, we also have under 23 tournament for the Tengku Jaffer. So I first played in under 23 for Hong Kong.
And you're in the same era, I guess, as like Munyadar, Elias Gul, and a few others, Afzal Haider.
They were actually came later.
Okay.
I think starting 2001 or 2002, they came to Hong Kong.
Okay.
But I started playing in 1996, 97. So
this is around the same. We had Roy Lamsam.
Yeah. Roy Lamsam. Yeah. So Roy Lamsam was like, yeah, we played together. Yeah. You know, Roy, yeah. Roy Manoj was there, and Morris Ling and these boys. We used to have quite a few Chinese during that period as well, you know, came out from the DBS school.
Yeah, from DBS school, like Roy Lamsam.
I have also played for actually DBS team.
Really?
For Saturday team for almost 2-3 years.
So you were playing at different clubs. When did you settle in at Little Saigon?
So this is quite an interesting story as well. You know, I started playing for Pakistan Association, and as I was quite young, and Pakistan Association had a very strong team during that period. And so being a youngster, it was, you know, you have to push for selection, you know. So majority of the time we were like sitting on the bench waiting for, you know, to give an opportunity during that period. As I said, they have a strong team and some star players was, you know, playing for them, and they were leading the, you know, league
like
during
now.
That period. Yeah,
yes. Tough to get a game for Pac at the moment,
especially as youngster.
Probably
yeah.
stronger than this, you know, all teams during that period.
Yeah.
You, I can reckon that during that period, you can easily, you know, find that bowlers bowling at closer to 140k, 135k. Yeah. You know, each team will have like at least, you know, two bowlers, and then their bowling limit was like, you know, they can bowl up to 15 overs.
Yeah, I remember the old rules.
Yeah, so you have to, like, you know, top of your game to score runs against always good bowlers, because if a team have three bowlers, you know, you'll be facing them all day.
True.
So playing for Pakistan Association, it was a challenge getting into the team. First season, it was like I got 4 games or 5 games, and we used to have 22 games during the season then, actually. I remember the first match I played for Pakistan Association, I got some bowling in the middle overs. I bowl only 3 overs and pick up 4 wickets. But those are the only 3 overs I got. And we won the match against Scorpions. But next match I was sitting outside again. So Pakistan Association was a bit challenged that season. And then next season again, it was similar story. That during the season, second season with Pakistan Association, there were some opportunities, you know, some players got, you know, busy or injured, and there were some opportunities in the team. But Pakistan Association started bringing in, you know, player from, you know, senior player from other teams to play them. And wherever I was always on the bench. So probably that was the time I decided that probably this is not the team,
yeah.
You know, I should continue, because during that period, I heard that Little Saigon was struggling with, you know, numbers.
Okay.
They had, you know, earlier in the season, they had 2 teams, Saturday team and Sunday team, but they also lost Saturday team, and they had only Sunday team, and they were also struggling with numbers. And I used to have a friend with me who also played Pakistan Association. He was the one actually who moved to Little Saigon first. So he, Kamran, he introduced me to Little Saigon. He said, club is struggling with numbers and you'll get opportunities. Don't waste your time, you know, sitting out on the bench in Pakistan Association. So I've moved across.
So was this around the same time you were playing under 23 for Hong Kong?
I think next year I played.
Following year.
Not that year.
Okay.
So I moved to Little Saigon straight away. I think the first match was here against Templar. I took 4 wickets, you know, bowling first change. And then we have a next match against Pakistan Association. So this became like quite a fiery game, actually. I opened the bowling for Little Saigon, pick up, you know, 2 of their openers, you know, in first 2 overs. And then end up actually winning the game as well, you know, for Little Saigon against Pakistan Association.
That must have been great.
Those was like, you know, knocking off like 27 runs towards the end. It was like myself and the other, one of my friend, who actually also left Pakistan Association to join Little Saigon. So together we two players and one of other player also from Pakistan Association. Three of us actually played the main role and won the game.
This is the birth of the Pakistan Association LSI-1 rivalry.
Yes, right, exactly. And then after that, it was...
it's always on.
It's always on.
Chaos.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's so the rhythm.
We're going to get onto the fact of you playing for the Hong Kong China, well, back then Hong Kong men's team, at the big boys, not the under-23, surely. Do you feel like this move that you made from Pakistan Association to Little Saiwan is the reason you made it up into the Hong Kong side?
Yes, definitely. I think because sitting out in Pakistan Association, nobody, you know, you're not getting any opportunity.
Yep.
And then you can't show your skills. Moving to Little Saiwan, I got like good opportunities in bowling and batting. And once I started playing, you know, after three matches, I was actually leading the wickets in the league, actually.
Mm.
You know, and then I remember how I got selected. You know, I was playing a match here in KCC, and my mother came to watch as well. That was the first time she came to any ground actually in watching my match. And for me, I have not actually batted at, you know, higher number. I was mostly a bowling all rounder there. But match against infidels here, over top four guys got out quite quickly. And I got opportunity to bat, you know, most of the overs. And I knock off, you know, my first 50, you know, in some 70, 80, 75 balls, quite slow. But we were chasing 280 runs. And I end up actually scoring, you know, my first century as well on the day. Although we lost the game by 8 runs, I lose out all the partners.
Hey, did you also just tell your mum that's what you do every weekend and just been missing out? I score a century every weekend, mum. I'm surprised you haven't seen them all.
Yeah. So, yeah, scoring 100 here and, you know, next match was in HKCC next Sunday. And that was against Optimus. And Optimus' captain was Stewart Brew then. Stewart Bowie was the captain of Hong Kong as well then, actually. And I scored another 100 against Optimus that day.
So you went back-to-back?
Back-to-back 100. And that day, I actually... Bowie was bowling. And I hit him three consecutive sixes in one of the over. And then I had two dot balls and took a single. And Stewart Bowie told me that on fourth ball, he said, "This is the same ball you actually hit it, you know, for a six. Why not this one?" I said, "Next over."
taunting the captain of Hong Kong.
That's brilliant.
So I scored 113 that day, and following week I score another century. But probably I impress the Hong Kong captain in the match in HKCC.
Brilliant.
So I got to play. I think the tournament was just around the corner, Tengku Jaffer. I've been picked for that. Although even being picked, did not get much opportunities because then again, the senior team was senior
gone,
team.
You've gone from being the big fish in a small pond down to the small fish in a big pond again, the Hong Kong side. So that's the start of your career.
Brilliant. And then obviously you played for Hong Kong quite successfully. At what point were you approached to become captain of the team?
Captain of the team, I was captaining Little Saiwan team from 2000 onwards.
Okay.
So I was playing quite, can say, quite deep role with Little Saiwan, and, you know, not only actually bringing the junior teams up for Little Saiwan, but establishing the club. Mm. In 2001, after 17 years, we won the cup competition. You know, there used to be a league competition and knockout cup competition. So in 2000, after 17 years, Little Saiwan actually won the cup first time.
Under your captaincy?
Under my captaincy. And I had a very young team then, actually, you know, with Little Saiwan. Only senior boys was like myself and Afzal Haider.
Oh, okay.
John also during that, you know, year.
Yeah.
I was always in the team, but of course then Rahul Sharma, Stewart Brew and some Riaz Farsi, some of the boys was, you know, quite senior, and they were the one actually who will be leading Hong Kong team. I started captaining in 2006.
Done six, so quite a while.
Yeah. And by then, actually, I was playing quite a senior role in my club. You know, in 6-7 years, I lead the club. And then had very successful seasons. You know, one or two seasons in 2004 and 5, we actually clean sweep with, you know, all the leagues, you know.
Oh, wow.
By Little Saiwan in 2004 and 5, yeah.
So, as captain, what was your first assignment? Where did you lead the team for the first time as Hong Kong captain?
We went to a T20, ACC T20 competition to Kuwait, yeah.
How'd that go?
Our coach was then Habib Aftab Habib.
Because I remember there's a photo of you on your Wikipedia page carrying an ACC trophy as a victorious captain.
So that was in 2008.
2008.
Yeah, that was the first time actually we won the ACC yes. Cup and qualified for the Asia Cup as well. For me, when I joined the Hong Kong team as a youngster, I always felt that that was my golden time, actually. I was performing really well. But, you know, the 2-4 years I played for Hong Kong, I was regular in the team, but did not get much opportunities. You know, you'll get, you know, odd couple of overs somewhere. You'll bat down the order. So that was the beginning, actually. And looking at Little Saiwan, how I, you know, started, you know, bringing the juniors in and reestablishing the club, I always have in mind, if I had a chance at any time, I want the youngster to, you know, given chance much earlier. So when I become captain in 2006, before our average age of the Hong Kong team was closer to 36.
Not
too far from now. That sounds a bit like now. Well, we want to touch on your umpiring career as we get close towards the end. And yeah. I mean, that could put into another podcast, your new career as an umpire. Tell us, how did that start?
So initially, when I stopped playing in 2011, you know, because I become a qualified coach as well, you know, I was thinking if I stop playing, I should go and contribute, you know, in coaching.
Yeah.
And I also led the, you know, Hong Kong national team in one of the competitions in ACC Trophy as a coach as well, as a national coach. But, you know, doing one assignment and, you know, looking at all the, you know, feedback and, you know, looking at the players as well. During that period, a lot of players from Little Saiwan was playing in the national team. And I felt there will be always, you know, conflict, kind of conflict. And people will always see me, you know, a Little Saiwan coach, even if I am, you know, with national coach. So I've been a bit reluctant to, you know, go in that way. But later on in 2013-14, I was again, you know, being in, you know, Cricket Hong Kong, you will always get opportunities to go on courses. So during my playing days, I take up like all the coaching courses, and they also force me to do, you know, umpiring courses as well during the period.
Yeah, we always need more umpires.
Yeah,
so this is while you were working at HKCA.
HKCA, yeah. So I did level one first, and then straight away become like maybe, you know, first two or three, you know, participants in that course. So straight away CC told me to do, you know, level two. So after three months we did the level two, and then, you know, Peter Manuel was you know, ICC coach, he was running the course, and during the practical, you know, he said, you know, I should be think about, you know, umpiring, taking a bit seriously, because probably my personality or the way I, you know, did my practical, he said, it might suits your personality, you know, if you take it seriously. And then ICC during that period was always looking for umpires who have some playing background.
Playing background, exactly.
So
around 2013-14, you've become a level 2 umpire.
Yeah.
While you're still working at HKCA doing development coaching work.
Yeah.
And you're a coach as well.
Yeah.
So you have to make a decision here to pursue umpiring seriously.
Yeah.
Do you decide, is that an easy decision, or did you have to weigh it up a little bit?
So I initially was not really in favor of umpiring, because whenever I had a chance to, you know, stand, it felt like, you know, challenging. And it looks like, you know, because you are not used to it, and, you know, probably the stamina is not there to stand for that long, you know, 50 over, and then that heat. And then still then I was playing even in 2013, 2013, 2014, 2015, I was still, you know, playing regularly cricket.
Wow.
So, Little Siawan don't wanted me to, you know, go away.
Yeah.
Although I given up captaincy, everything, and, you know, let Munir, you know, take over, you know, in 2010. ACC given me opportunity in 2015 to do some, you know, T20Is and some ODIs and some three-day games in Sri Lanka. That was a training tour for me, and I started, you know, enjoying umpiring. And there was opportunity came during the same period from ICC that we got ODI status, and ICC said they're opening up. Then there was associate international panel.
I think they still have it, right? Or is it the development panel now?
Yeah. So then it was associate international panel. So they invited, you know, three umpires from each country, and Hong Kong Cricket nominated me, and then I started getting appointments from ICC. We were playing ODIs then, and straight away actually I got opportunity to do T20Is and, you know, ODIs, which again it increased my interest level.
Okay.
And again, the feedback I was getting was quite encouraging, and I thought that, you know, I can improve on.
So that's when you made the move that because you're doing so well as an umpire, and I think maybe the coaching didn't appeal to you as much with the politics that possibly surrounded.
Yeah.
I've just found an interesting stat about your umpiring.
Yep.
For T20Is, you've umpired the 20... You're ranked 23rd on the list of umpires by the number of T20Is that you've umpired, which is a pretty... You're right up there.
Yeah.
It says here 2016 is the date that you first started doing T20Is. You've already umpired 47.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the last, say, from 2015 onwards, it's a lot of T20, you know, have been, international T20 have been played. And for associates, this is where ICC is focusing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of T20 eyes been played. Also, they're playing bilateral series now, and then there is a pathway tournaments, you know, qualifying rounds as well. So, again,
you've crossed 100 games as an umpire, haven't you? 100 international games.
I think
umpire.
Internationally, I probably have crossed even probably more than 250 or 300.
Well,
but T20I and
ODI,
ODIs and those women.
Which one do you prefer, T20Is or ODIs?
Actually, T20s is more, you know, I said.
Or sixes.
Interesting.
Well, you sixes did will be. As well.
Sixes, this was the second time. This year, I felt that I've been pushed. You know, previous year in 2017 was, I felt that I enjoyed. But this...
well, you're the senior one. You have to be out there. We're running out of time. I've got two more questions left. All right. So the first question.
Yep.
Which one do you prefer more? Playing international cricket or umpiring international cricket? If right now you could do either, which one would you do? You'd choose first.
I enjoy playing, definitely. And probably second is umpiring.
All right. So you've done it in that order, so you're pretty happy.
I have taken more wickets umpiring than actually.
Well, okay. And I've got one more. See, somebody has messaged in knowing that you're going to be on the podcast today. And this is a current question. We want to get your thoughts on, you've been a coach, you've been a player, and you're an umpire. What's your thoughts on the current Hong Kong cricket team?
We have actually quite talented cricket team. I think the talent in Hong Kong, we always have, you know, good talented cricketers. Currently, our team, which I see, we have some older players there.
Mm-hmm. And we do.
And again, our players not really been challenged in local cricket here. Or somehow the competitiveness is on low side actually. Mm-hmm. And to looking at, like, you know, two or three weeks back when, you know, Yasim, Anshi, and, you know, Nazakat and Babar Hayat, you know, they came back to play local cricket. All of them was like, you know, scoring double hundred centuries. But can they replicate the same thing, you know?
Not always.
In that level, not really. So I feel that our team is aging. Those players, like, you know, some of was handpicked myself, you know, in 2006 and 2007.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know.
So put your cage cap back on, and what would you do for the next 3 years?
We need to bring in, young players. But also,
I've said this before.
Yeah, but also we have to, rise our standard, local cricket league standard. We need to bring in overseas players, to the clubs, to Little Sahiban, to Pakistan Association, some younger guys, and
some more Sahals.
Yeah. So the company.
Exactly. You're talking earlier. I mean, we really do need to wrap this up. But you were saying that when you came over from Pakistan, there was a whole heap of, and then Pakistan stacked their side with new players coming in. I haven't felt that in the last couple of years here in Hong Kong.
Well, giving you one example, Little Sahiban used to have, in 2007, 8, 9, we used to have like one player every year we, bring in for the club. That become part of the league and then stay here and then, contribute, to the growth of local cricket. And they end up like qualifying and playing for Hong Kong as well later on. But the last player we brought in was in 2011, which is Ehsan Khan.
There we go.
All the local clubs really need to start pushing
need
that.
Need to start, and probably Cricket Hong Kong also need to think some policy to, bring in more talent. And our local talent will only groom and get better if they will be challenged. If a 15 years old, easily walking to the Sunday League or Premier League, without any competition, he won't be getting a bigger player. He might be a star, but he need to be challenged to, get ready for the international level.
Thank you so much, Tabak. This has been a wonderful interview. Wish we had more time with you. There's so much to talk about in your career. We didn't even touch about being a club admin, and you have your son's playing under 19 as well.
Nerd over there wants to know about club admin, but
so much
we
could have talked about. But
of course, we could. Thank you so much for coming on My Story, Tabak.
Thank you very much, Tabak.
Most welcome, Mitesh. Thank you, Bishi.
Yep, there's the big bird. It means Sky Plaza Road time. We're talking internationals. We talked about all the international games coming up in the intro, but at the moment, there's still international games that have just finished for the women's. We'll talk about that shortly with Tammy Chu, but also the men's team are over in Uganda, Nitesh. What is it? The ICC Challenge League B round one.
Round one. This is the qualifying tournament for the 2027 ODI World Cup.
Now, first off, having it in Uganda in November doesn't seem optimal because it won't stop raining. Yeah. That said, we've got four typhoons floating around Hong Kong, so we couldn't do it here anyway. But we are doing it in January, so that's exciting news. But let's have a look at the games. We started off, what was game one? We had a win there, didn't we?
Yeah, first game was against Bahrain.
Yeah.
We opted to bowl first. We kept them to 200 for 9. And then we chased it 7 wickets down, thanks to Baba Hayat carrying us, a brilliant 103. What a quality player he is.
I mean, what did we score to win?
We needed 201 to win.
And what did Baba score?
103.
Which is more than half the score.
More than half
which
the
means
score.
Not a lot of help. So we got the point, at least, the points.
We got the point, and you have to give credit to some good performances. Yasir Murtaza, 4 for 23. Of course, Baba's 100. Martin Anchi got a few runs. Overall, the bowlers bowled pretty well. I think about 10 overs on the trot for 32.
Yeah, that's exciting. Let's get depressed. Game two. Let's play Joe Burns' Italy.
So Joe Burns' Italy, they've got, I think, 5 guys playing first-class cricket. And Harry Minetti smacked us for 114.
I don't know if he's the guy, but Bodders was telling me there's a guy in the Italy team that was the New South Wales Premier League number one run scorer 3 years ago.
It might be him because he is playing great cricket and good level cricket in Australia. Stewart hit 60 of 25. I think he's a county pro. They just, everyone except Anthony Mosca got a duck, scored above 40. So
hey, let's start. Let's go to the toss here.
Oh, yeah.
What was the toss?
I think we chose to bowl.
We won the toss and chose to bowl against that batting lineup.
Yeah.
We are not great at chasing. We did it. We lost 7 wickets against Bahrain. We win the toss and we bowl. Yeah. And we got spanked.
Yeah. I mean, without wanting to dwell too much on it, I think if that's the plan, the system is, look, they've got a strong batting lineup. Are we going to score enough to restrict them, or are we better off putting them under pressure of the ball, trying to take early wickets and backing ourselves to chase 250. clearly backfired. 342 is what they got. Atiq Iqbal, 10 hours 25.
Yeah. I mean, Atiq is the greatest thing to come into that team in the last 12 months.
He's been amazing. Like, so full props to him.
Fantastic. I'm so glad. Atiq's, go back and listen to his My Story. It's
wonderful,
this
My
season.
Story as well.
But the rest is...
Ansuman Rad, 90 of 100.
Exactly. So, again, one person fires.
And then 187 all out.
The next game, the gods were shining on us, and I mean that facetiously because it rained. Otherwise, I think we would have lost to Uganda.
Well, I'd like to have a bit more faith in our middle order. I think the game was not in our favour. They were 70 for 3, chasing 290, I believe, and the rain came down.
Did we win that toss, or did they win that toss? Yeah.
Let's have a look at the toss result.
I think it was a Uganda won the toss.
They won the toss just bad.
Fair call. Good choice.
291, 80 from Riaz Ali Shah.
I mean, that might be par on these Entebbe pitches.
We took 9 wickets and 50 overs. Again, Atiq Iqbal, 3 for 53. More expensive, but got wickets. Yasim, 1 for 27 in his 10. Nazrullah Rana, interesting, only bowling 5 balls at a death and getting injured. And I think he...
Did you say he got injured?
No, I think he finished off Ayush Shukla's over. I think Ayush Shukla started the over. Couldn't finish it, and then Nazrullah came on and bowled 5 balls.
What happened there? I don't know.
Sure.
Not a dangerous delivery or something?
Not sure.
Anyway, the gods intervened. It rained.
72 for 3 when the rain came down in 15 overs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might have still won that.
Might have.
Yeah, I don't want to rule the team
chance.
Out.
Yeah, right.
Babu batting, Yasim. And we only got 1 point in that game. And then we bounced back. Another win. Right after that.
Who were we playing in that one? Was it Tanzania?
Tanzania, indeed. We bowled them out pretty quickly.
127, yeah.
127. This happened last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
127.
Fresh on.
3 again for Ayush, so clearly fit to play again. Atiq, 2 for 17. What a tour he's having. And yeah, we got there in the end. 63 from Yasim Murtaza.
Have a look at the scorecard. Did you notice who opened the batting in that game?
Yeah, they changed it up a little bit. Shiv Mathur came
up
playing 11.
A little bit. Shiv Mathur opened the batting. He didn't get any runs.
List A debut for Shiv Mathur as Zeeshan Ali dropped down the order. And Anshuman, 24. Yasim, 63, not out. Carried us home.
Yasim again, saving us. It's tightly poised over there in Uganda. We need, what have we got? We got Singapore left. Is that it?
I think that's it.
We've got to get through Singapore. We've got to win that good. We're going to need a big. And then we can move on back at home in January and reset and have a grand plan to deal with Joe Burns and his mates from Sydney. Because Italy's our big... I think it was always talk it was going to be Uganda and Hong Kong, China.
No, Italy are...
But Italy are serious.
They've been building a team for quite a while, Italy. And you can tell, like, when the news first came out, Joe Burns is returning and they've pulled these guys in from first-class cricket, we knew they were going to be a good team.
Yeah, I was talking to Nathan Horitz from a Test cricketer who was playing corporate in Sixers here, and he's a mate of Joe's. So we were playing against Joe in Uganda, and we had Nathan Horitz here at KCC playing. There's Australian Test cricketers everywhere.
Everywhere.
All right, so that's where we're at. We got one game left. Do we know where the Singapore game is off the top of your head? You got the laptop up and running.
The laptop only left off my head. Let's look at the laptop. It is on the 15th of November, so this Friday.
Okay.
3 p.m.
That's our time.
That's our time. 3 p.m. our time. No, yep. 10 a.m. our time.
No.
10 a.m. local, 3 p.m. our time. Something like that.
Anyway, it's on Friday. I've got a very crazy Friday, so I won't be watching it. I've got Sky Warriors T20, and then there's the Commonwealth Sixers on. People will keep me updated. Good luck to the boys over there in Uganda. Now we're going to put the headset on Tammy Chu, who's going to join us to talk some women's cricket. Tammy?
Yes.
Welcome back to the podcast after the women's cricket wrap. And the women's team has been in China for the Belt and Road Cup, which is brand new. I've not heard of that one. That's the first time it's been played, correct?
Yeah, it's the first time for women's, yes.
Yep. So off the team went, and we're obviously thinking quite successful. What were the teams that were playing? There was China, obviously.
Yes, and then we also got Mongolia and Myanmar.
Okay, so who did we play first?
First game we play against Myanmar.
This did not go well, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, we didn't go quite well on that one.
Something about 89 or 90-odd, Myanmar batting first.
Myanmar got 85. Carey got 3 wickets, but there's one batsman called Kim Min Mat, something like that, got 40 runs.
So chasing, we needed, what did you say, 83, 84 to win?
85, 86 to win.
86 to win, and we didn't quite get there.
Yeah, I would say, well, I play on that wicket and it's hard to bet on, so it's always a low-scoring game. The batsman didn't go well, so...
Came down to that last over and I was seeing it and it just didn't quite get there. The wickets fell and we fell short against Myanmar. So I thought, okay, well, that campaign's over. But yeah. No. Hong Kong, China bounce back. Next game.
Of course. Next game, we play against China.
Mm.
So China was betting first. Yes, China was betting first, getting 87 runs, where Emma got 4 wickets.
Well done, Emma Light.
And then when we are betting, well done to Kerry Chen, getting 41.
That's
and
good. That carries back in the side, of course, yeah. After injury.
Yeah, and then we managed to chase it with 2 balls left.
You do my heart in.
It's a tight game, but...
Yeah, that's tough. But they got over the line, which should mean the next game was Mongolia, who, if my memory serves me correctly from the Asia Games, we set world records against.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that one-sided this time, was it?
And No. They are still quite young, new. So we got them all out in 12.5 overs, which they
I think that's more than they got out last time. But
yeah, and they only got like 19 runs.
Oh, yeah. Tough.
And we managed to chase it in 1.2 overs.
Wow. Who was opening the bat there?
I've got, oopsie.
Well, it doesn't matter. We got the win. We got the 20 runs for quiet in 1.2 overs. Does that put us to the final then?
Yes.
So even though we lost to Myanmar in that first game, Hong Kong, China made the final.
Yes.
Against China, right?
Because China beat Myanmar.
Mm.
And then
so
with
net run rate.
The net run race, Hong Kong and China.
So let's talk the final. What
the
happened?
Finals. In the final, well done to our team, of course. China batting first.
So the entire tournament, Hong Kong, China batted second. Every single game they chased. And we're usually terrible at chasing. That's just a Hong Kong, China trait. But this tournament worked out fabulously. What did China score?
Yeah, China got 77. And then we chase it in 13.2 overs.
So we were getting better and better as the tournament went on. Maybe learning that pitch because, that's a convincing win. And I don't know if that's the third, fourth tournament that Hong Kong China women's team have gone up there and played in and at least won 2 or 3 of them. So it's a fantastic effort for Hong Kong China. And earlier in the intro, you weren't here at the time, but I was talking with Nitesh about the upcoming Tri-Nations, I think it's a Quad-Nations. Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
I actually have no information about that yet.
I have information. Would you like to know information?
Yes, please.
It's coming up shortly. It's the 13th of November we're recording. This is going out on the 15th. So the 4th of December, we're going to play back-to-back T20 games each day, 4th, 5th, 7th and 8th. So on the 4th, it'll be Namibia versus Thailand at, I'm going to say that's 9:30 a.m. as it's getting dark. And the afternoon game, another big doubleheader, the finalist from the Belt and Road Cup, Hong Kong China versus China from 2 p.m. On the 5th, China plays Namibia at 9:30 a.m., Hong Kong China versus Thailand at 2 p.m. We have a rest day, then 7th of December, Thailand versus China, 9:30 a.m., Hong Kong China versus Namibia at 2 p.m., on the 8th of December, the third place playoff will be at 9:30 a.m. and the final, 2 p.m., all games at Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground, the home of the Hong Kong Sixers.
Yep.
That's going to be a fabulous tournament. We'll give you more details as we get close, but that's our first international tour of the year, the 2024-25 season.
Yeah.
It's been a big Sky Plaza Road. Coming up next, it's the Challenge League.
Thirty teams, 3 leagues, Hong Kong's finest. It's Challenge League time.
Yes, indeedy. It's time for the Challenge League. And welcome back to the podcast. Our Challenge League host, Nitesh Hemlani, who's been here the entire episode. We missed some games. You've got some details on some games we didn't tip.
So we've had two games during the Sixes and two games the weekend after, which did we tip it over WhatsApp? I think we tipped it over WhatsApp.
Oh, did you keep it?
Let me open it up. I think we've definitely tipped it up. So.
We've had a lot of chat since then, so I'm not sure how far back. You read through the results. I'll scroll through and see what I can find.
So the two games that happened during the Sixes were USRC Avengers versus Yao Tsim Mong District Team. We both picked Yao Tsim Mong. We were both wrong. Yeah, USRC Avengers winning by 39 runs, 212 play, 173 out at Kham Thin, high-scoring ground.
I do love YTM, but they're teetering on the never-ever bin.
They've got a few good wins. The other thing that we both picked correct, again at Kham Thin during the Sixes, was Nepal Rhinos versus Serendib Lions. It was a lot closer, though. Nepal Rhinos only winning by 5 runs, and that's just because Serendib Tritons did not have 11 players. They were all out after losing 8 wickets, trying to chase 199 to when they got 193 in 16.5 overs. Did they come with a full 11? The Tritons might have pulled off an upset. But they did not, and therefore we were right. Nepal Rhinos win by 5 runs.
They're playing tomorrow if the weather is right here at KCC as well. As I said before, they're our highest rating ever game of cricket because of the name. I can't find the tip, so you'll just have to remind me.
So I think at this point, after the Sixes weekend, I was still 1 point ahead of you. And I think last weekend you've pulled level because we both picked, did we both pick Indians United? I think we both picked Indians United against USRC Avengers and got that correct. Because USRC Avengers got 203 for 5, again at Kham Thin, which is like becoming their home ground. Mm. But Indians United chased it down a lot better than Yao Tsim Mong did. They got 204 for 1 in their 18 overs.
Wow.
With two guys retiring after their 50s. This score is not on Cricket Heroes, by the way. This is a podcast exclusive. I have texted the captain to find the score because, once again, the app failed. So,
well,
that's a podcast.
We only have the captain that says he wins. Well,
they posted a photo on Facebook with the whole team celebrating the win.
Okay.
So it's either an elaborate ruse or...
I trust them. Okay, carry on.
And then the one where you picked right and I picked wrong, we picked different on this. India Club Panthers on home turf against Madras CC.
I think I went Madras, didn't I?
No, I went
the Panthers.
I did some
research.
You did some research for a change. I went Madras. Madras only 145, not enough at Kham Thin. Panthers got there in 14 overs.
Yay, Panthers!
So it should be level on the tipping
right
at the moment.
You'll have to keep track because I don't even have this week's games. All it says on my script is Challenge League.
You're lucky
podcast notes. And there is nothing underneath that part.
So during this hour we've been recording, I filled up that part on my sheet.
I've got nothing.
I've got the upcoming games.
So I've done no research, so here's your chance to go ahead again.
You're going purely of gut feeling. These are tough games to pick.
Ouch.
First at GDB, a Division 1 game. They're both Division 1 games, but both at GDB as well.
Okay, so first up, any of these teams that are playing have just recently come up, or they're regular Div 1s?
These are all regular Div 1s.
Right, go for it.
PACC Golden Stars versus Ching Yi Smashers.
Ching Yi Smashers. I'm going to go with the Smashers. I think I failed on the Smashers last time, but I've got a feeling on this one.
I like the Smashers as well. They've competed in the final a couple of times, and while I like the players in Golden Stars, I think Ching Yi are just more consistent team, so I'm going to go Ching Yi there as
Roger.
Well,
what time is this?
This is 11:10 a.m.
Okay,
and then at 2:20 p.m. TCC Strikers, the Caribbeans, the Tung Chung, the Caribbeans,
they're not West Indian.
Yeah, no, this is the other Tung Chung team. That's what I say. There's the Caribbeans and then there's the Strikers. These are the Strikers.
Okay,
and then they're up against Master Blasters.
Okay, I think I failed with the Master Blasters last time, did I?
Yeah, you picked them and lost.
Yeah, so I'm going to tip against them.
Oh.
I'm going to go with the Tung Chungans.
Well, that was my pick as well, so we have no jeopardy here because...
Yay! I know nothing. You know, I know nothing about the Challenge League, so I'm happy that we've got the same tips this week. Two games, just the two?
Just the two.
Two games coming up this weekend for Challenge League. That's the Challenge League wrap.
And now it's time for Bushy's Birthday Bonanza.
Oh, Bodder's favourite time of the podcast. It's the birthdays. We've got a few to get through because we haven't had a podcast for 2 weeks. So we're going to duck all the way back to November 8th. Who we got, Nitesh?
On November 8th, HKCC's own Siegfried Wise.
Former guest host of the podcast this season. He gave me so much hard time on that podcast.
He's turning 31. Happy birthday, Siegfried. That's higher than your batting average.
Oh, there we go. A little bit of stick given back to Siegfried White. Also on November 8, but a whole lot younger, 12 years younger, in fact, from, well, it says Cricket Hong Kong, China and USRC, but she has moved across to India Club. Yeah. Myra Baloch, friend of the broadcast, one of my scorers here at KCC, wonderful human being, turned 19 on November 8.
Happy birthday, Myra. Also, on the 10th of November now, from Lil Saiwan, from the Hong Kong national squad, although he's not debuted yet, has been selected for the squad.
I'm looking forward to when he gets a game.
I'm looking forward to it too, turning 22 years old.
Right there. That's why I'm looking forward to it.
We'll talk more about this later.
In the outro, we're going to talk about the team.
It's the talented youngster, Rajab Hussain.
Well done. Happy birthday, Rajab. Also a youngster, another female cricketer playing for Cricket Hong Kong China and Hong Kong Cricket Club, turning just 18 on the 11th, which was 2 days earlier from when we're recording and 4 days earlier from when you probably hear this. Mai Gardner up the hill, turning 18, the big, tall, quick.
Big, tall, quick. Happy birthday, Myra. Amaya.
There's Amaya and Amaya.
So many of them. All right. Also having his birthday. Now, this is coming up after the podcast is released on 17th November.
Which would be Sunday.
Oh, the Premier League.
Plod day.
He's playing the plod.
He's not playing here.
You know, he's playing at Mission Road.
Oh, that's so sad.
He'll be playing at Mission Road. Aftab Hussain of USRC, turning 26 years old. Keep that in mind.
27.
Oh, sorry, 27 years old. Apologies. Happy birthday, Aftab.
Still in the 20s. Happy birthday, Aftab. I've got all the women this week.
You rigged it.
Now, the superstar of Hong Kong China women's team, turning 29 on the 20th, which is next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Of course, the one and only Mariko Hill.
Legendary Mariko Hill. Happy birthday.
So there's the birthday. Siegfried Y and Myra Baloch on the 8th. Rajab Hussain on the 10th. Maya Gardner on the 11th. Aftab Hussain is going to play plod on his birthday at Mission Road. And Mariko Hill next Wednesday. Happy birthday to you all.
Hi, this is Atiq Iqbal from Hong Kong China national team. And you're listening to 852 Broadcast with Bushy.
Another massive podcast comes to an end. The 8 for 52, episode 10 of season 2. Natasha Hemlani, thank you so much for joining me and helping me through this big one. Great podcast again.
Brilliant podcast.
Did you like all those exclusives about the internationals coming up?
Breaking news. A lot of new information out there for the listeners.
Yeah, it's going to be big. We got through heaps. You brought in one of the best in Hong Kong for your My Story.
Yes, legendary Tabar. I had a lot of great things to say. Oh, great story.
As we said, we could have done another half hour and we still wouldn't have covered everything that he's ever done in cricket here in Hong Kong. Just such a legend. I want to touch on one thing that he said right towards the end of that interview where he was talking about the fact, he talked about the fact that the Hong Kong China men's team needs more youth, which I have been harping on about.
Yeah.
But he also mentioned that one of the big problems we're having here in Hong Kong is that we don't have any fresh blood coming in. So we've got the youngsters that play constantly, go through Gappers or go through JCP here at KCC. But back in the day when he was playing, the teams would import someone from Pakistan or India or something like that. And not just for a vacation, as we heard in the women's cricket rap.
Yeah.
We're talking about people that come in like Sahal. We need more of it.
Well, if you look realistically in Hong Kong, there are only two clubs that can actually afford to hire coaches on a full-time basis from overseas, and we're sitting here recording in one of them, KCC. The other one is Sahal Malvankar's HKCC. It's a reality of Hong Kong that cost of living here is quite difficult, and maybe what could be done back in the 90s in terms of finding people, bringing them in, getting them settled in Hong Kong while they play cricket until they qualify may not be as feasible or as realistic now given the realities of Hong Kong. Maybe the focus needs to shift more towards how do we better develop young players coming through and how do we get them into international cricket in a way that doesn't affect our funding, our rankings, our tournaments.
But we talked about it in various segments of this podcast where countries like Italy are bringing in big players and then we're sort of stagnating in that regard.
It's one of the places, one of the areas where we're losing a competitive edge. The last player I can think of who we
We'll also talk about Oman and whatever. They're also getting a whole heap of players.
I've heard rumors that Oman had a whole heap of players. A lot of them had some dispute with the board. They were deported. But it doesn't matter to them because they've just got a whole other bunch of players. We saw the guys who came over for the Sixers haven't even played for the national team yet. And they were fantastic.
They were fantastic. I mean, exactly right. So, I mean, to do all this, one thing you do need is ODI status. More ICC money could help. But like we mentioned in the intro, the international games that are being played next year, like the ICC World Challenge Round 2, is going to get... It's a major international local sport for from the Sports Bureau and LCSD. So that should bring in extra funding and we get broadcast and we're doing all of that. So, yeah, it's a tough one at the moment. I mean, the team at the moment has just got to grind it out over there in Uganda, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the team we have right now, I believe only Ayush, Nasrullah, Anshuman and Shiv are under 30. Am I missing anyone?
That is, as far as I'm aware... Like Hassan Ali's not over there playing.
Hassan Ali's not over
there.
We've had a few guys in the squad.
Dash has come back as well.
Danny's been around. Rajab Hussain has been in and around the setup.
But we also are naming a takeout Ange. Every youngster we have, apart from Shiv, is a bowler.
Oh, that's true as well.
So where's our young batters?
That is true as well. We've got a few in their 20s kicking out domestic cricket, but... A couple of guys scored runs.
Akbar Khan,
but no one dominating the way the national guys did when they came back.
Like Tabrak said, right? Yeah, the national guys come back and play on these tests against the domestic teams, score 200.
Easy. They made it look so easy as
well. They did. So, I mean, there's a gulf. I was going to say there's a gap, but it's an abyss between the two levels.
We've got Sahal, obviously, who, if he stays here 3 years... will qualify and probably get into the batting lineup. We've got some.
Can he bring
21.
Some old Brummies over?
Well, they've got to find out.
He's talked about how many players he used to play cricket with. Get a few more over.
They've got to find employment. I think that's something.
Of course.
And we had Kyle Christie, who grew up and played in Australia, had Hong Kong connections. I think he was born here. And so was able to represent Hong Kong at international cricket. Maybe we have to cast the net wide and try looking for... We had Jude Lee come in for the All-Stars 16-year-old.
Speaking of the likes of Jude Lee, former podcast co-host Matt Botters Botfield apparently is putting together his own Hong Kong cricket team somewhere in New South Wales. He's got like 5 kids that all have Hong Kong passports are playing in various leagues in Sydney or Hong Kong residency or parents.
Yeah.
So I mean, that might be
the way. Send the message out.
We've talked plenty of times about the fact that the players in Hong Kong have to go out. Roy Lamson said it.
Yes.
Plenty have said it. You've got to go play cricket somewhere other than Hong Kong. Maybe we do the reverse. Let them play over there, then bring them in.
Bring them in. Wow. I mean, a lot of a women's team are playing in England recently and have shown improvements in their game.
Yeah, Yazdaz has been over there.
Yeah, Mariko, Ruchi, a lot of the girls are playing out there.
It's what you've got to do. Well, that's going to bring to an end episode 10, Natesh Hemlani. We'll see you next week anyway in the Challenge League, but you've been an absolutely stunning co-host this week and a stunning my story guest bringing in. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Bushy.
Okay, that's it. See ya.
Hello. Good morning. We're tossing a coin to begin.
The 8 for 52 theme song is The Coin Toss, from the band The Duckworth Lewis Method. Find them on Apple iTunes and YouTube and download that song and all their other cricket-related music.
The 8 for 52 podcast is edited, produced and published by Matt Botfield and Aaron Bush for Trip Ahead Limited. Copyright 2024.
And that's that.